So as y'all exit, we'll go ahead and get rolling. Tonight, I'm going to be preaching a sermon on the faithfulness of God from my anchor verse, one of my anchor verses. I don't think any of us in here just have this one verse that we just cling to. There's so much scripture as you go through life that speaks to you, and you cling to it in different seasons. But tonight, one that I've chosen to preach on is, Brad opened the service tonight, is Lamentations chapter 3. Verses 22 and 23, and it's a sermon that's going to be focused on the faithfulness of God, and I'm going to be the one preaching it, but I believe this right now, is that you could also be preaching a sermon on God's faithfulness. When you look back in your life, you could stand right here, and we could have testimony after testimony after testimony of how God has been faithful to you, how God has seen you through, how God has provided for you. And so I feel like tonight, I hope I'm bringing just a word of encouragement and a reminder to us to continue to trust that God will hold you fast, to continue to rest in the promise that God is faithful, that he loves you, and that his mercies are more. And so tonight in Lamentations chapter 3, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 24 just to get the context, somewhat of the context of the passage. But to begin us all off tonight, I just wanted to make this statement, and it's something I think is just across the board true, is that we all want someone that we can count on. Would y'all say that's true? We need someone in our lives that we can count on, right? We don't want to just walk through life not being able to trust a single person, that we're always looking over our shoulder trying to figure out, is that person, are they really going to do what they said that they're going to do? Is the way they were acting right now who they really are? We want to be able to count on people. I bring this message tonight, Lamentations chapter 3, not because I have been let down in some severe way in my life. I grew up in a very stable, healthy family that was constantly supporting me and encouraging me, providing for me. I was never let down by them. I've really never truly just been let down by someone. Yes, people have let me down, but it's not wrecked my world, and all I had to do was to turn to the Lord. But I'm preaching this sermon tonight, and this verse is an anchor verse to my life, not because that people let me down, not because I will let myself down, and not just because the things that I put my hope in will let me down. That's not the reason that I'm preaching this sermon tonight. It's because of those reasons, I need to know the God who will never let me down. We serve a God who will never let us down. We may not see how he's working it all out in the moment, but we serve a God who will never let us down, and he is the one that we can always count on. I felt the Lord tell me as I've read scripture that talks about his faithfulness, that just speaks to me saying, Justin, you can count on me. Justin, I'm there for you. Justin, in this problem, I've got your back. I will give you the wisdom. I will give you the peace. I will give you the direction. If you will just trust me, I am there. And so I want to encourage you with that tonight. And that is why Lamentations chapter 3 is an anchor verse in my life. Because in a world that is so one season to the next, ever-changing, there's only one person that we can trust, that we can put and stake our faith in, and that is our God. And I want to be, each and every day, even though I fall short, each and every day, anchored to the faithfulness of God, knowing that he is for me and that he is with me. And so tonight, let's look at Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. They may not be all on the screen because I don't think I told them that I was going to start that early. So look in your scripture at verse 19. It says this: Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. Let's pray together. Tonight, God, we want to focus on who you are, a good and faithful God. in the midst of a crowd and in the midst of a world of very fickle and unfaithful people, we look to you as a faithful and good God. And we pray tonight, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in that way. And Lord, that we would be able to just build our lives on that truth so that we can go into the world and share that truth of who you are to those who are hopeless, to those who are hurting, that there is a person, there is a God that loves them, that would never leave them or forsake them. So Lord, tonight, just reveal yourself to us, and I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the reason I wanted to give you a little bit of verses 19 and 20 and 21 and 24 around this passage is because this is the high point of the book of Lamentations. If you can't tell, the Lamentation is built with the word lament. This is a very sad book. This is five chapters of most likely Jeremiah writing during one of the most difficult times in his life. Jeremiah was a prophet to Jerusalem, to Judah, the tribe of Judah, and his job was difficult. He had to preach a message of repentance and judgment day in and day out to a very obstinate people who were not worshiping the God that created them, the God that had taken them out of slavery from Egypt, the God that had brought them through the wilderness, the God that had provided them everything they needed. They had turned their backs on him. And Jeremiah's task was to call them to repentance or they would face judgment. And so Jeremiah, he had a very difficult job. And through his life, he was probably the most ridiculed, persecuted, beat down, imprisoned prophet that existed to the nation of Israel. And so he had it hard. So when you get to Lamentations, that comes after the book of Jeremiah, you get into Lamentations and you see his heart. This is a book of poetry. And you see his heart coming forth and this discouragement that he has. You see in verse 19 and 20, he talks about how he's been afflicted. He's calling to his mind that he's remembering his affliction and his wondering, the bitterness of his life. He says that his soul is bowed down within him. He has been greatly humbled, okay? But then, even in the midst of this trial of his life, even in the midst of all these sufferings and difficult things he's gone through, he comes to verse 21. In the light of all of that, there's also another reality. It's almost like the light bulb of the Holy Spirit comes upon Jeremiah. And although he's in this reality of this difficult time, there are also other aspects to his reality. The other aspects to his reality in verse 21 says, I recall to mind and I have hope. Verse 22, the Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease. And his mercies, indeed, they never fail. Great in his, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So this is not written to in the midst of this jolly old time, and everything is swell and great, and they're having fun, and they're rich and they're full, and everything is prosperous. This is Jeremiah writing this in weeping, and in the midst of the weeping, he lifts his eyes and he recalls to his mind. You can't recall something that you never knew, by the way. He recalls to his mind how God had been faithful. He recalls to his mind the promises of the Lord. We need to recall the promises of the Lord upon ourselves. And as he looked at that, he remembered who God was. And it brought him ultimately to the faithfulness of God. So it's important for us to see where this scripture comes from so that we're not just thinking God's faithful to us when everything's great. We can turn to God at any point in our lives. So let's look here at number one. The faithfulness of God is great. Brilliant, right? Right? I got it straight from scripture. That's how it should be. The faithfulness of God is great. But there's a reason I say that. There's a reason the scripture says that. You know, so often in our culture especially, we throw around superlatives like they're nothing, right? That's awesome. That's amazing, great, that's fantastic. You're the best person ever to live. That was the best sermon you've ever preached, okay? You probably won't say that tonight. But here's the thing. We throw around those each and every day. This is a true superlative right here. Great is your faithfulness. The writer, of course, is poetry, and he's expounding upon the faithfulness of God. But he could have just said, God, you're faithful. God, you've been faithful. Thank you for being faithful. But instead, in light of these loving kindnesses, or as some translations more clearly say, the steadfast, faithful, loyal love that God has, and knowing his compassions and his mercies, he can expound and say, great is your faithfulness. So God's faithfulness is great. And a lot of times we like to measure things in quantity, right? When we measure things, we kind of look to amount. How much is there? Well, this word for great is translated two ways most often in the Old Testament. One is the word many or much, and the other one is great. And so I want to talk about the greatness of God, of the greatness of his faithfulness in quantity. When we look at verse 22, it says that his loving kindnesses never cease. They go on and on and on. There's no end. Let me give you two verses here from the book of Psalms. Psalms 36:5. I found these just fascinating. Your love, Lord, reaches to the heavens, and your faithfulness to the skies. Now, some of you are hearing that, and you're thinking about an older contemporary worship song, right? Is that going through your mind? You're wanting to go to the next verse there? It struck a chord with me when I found that. But your love reaches to the heavens and your faithfulness to the skies. That is just saying, like, God's faithfulness goes on and on forever. The skies are limitless, right? Psalm 105 says this, the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness is to all generations. It goes on and on and on. It didn't stop with Israel. Thankfully, it moved on to us. And the cross, through the cross, it's moved on to each and every person who would believe upon Jesus. And so God's faithfulness is great in quantity, but it's also great in quality. You know, sometimes we measure things by amount, but sometimes we have to measure it by its substance. What is it worth? God's faithfulness is great in quality. According to verse 23, and of course, the writer here is highlighting the faithfulness of God through God's love and God's mercy. And in verse 23, he says that his mercies are new every morning. The quality of God's faithfulness through his love and mercy is the fact that they are new each and every day. They're made new. They're made new for you. So the quality of that is the fact that we don't get leftovers from God. They are fresh. They are new each and every day. He isn't faithful to us in some ways and then unfaithful to us in other ways. He doesn't halfway fulfill the promises that he gives us. He is faithful. His faithfulness is great. And I would like to point out here is that he's not just faithful in his love and his mercy, but he's also faithful in his justice and his judgment. He's faithful in every characteristic that the scripture, that he tells us about in scripture. He is who he is, and he will be who he will be. And we can count upon him. And so we see here, just quite simply, that the faithfulness of God is great. But we also want to see here, is more practically, is that the faithfulness of God is experienced. The faithfulness, and number two here, the faithfulness of God is experienced. So I ask myself this question is, how do we know that something is faithful? Well, the way you know something is faithful is through experience. You got to try it out, right? You can't just get a car and drive it a few miles down the road and say, this thing is the best thing ever. And especially a brand new car, like one that they just put out. I saw a commercial for a brand new Buick. Like, it's the first one of its type. And while I'm preparing this message, I'm just thinking, like, there's no way I'm going to drive that car because it has no history. It has no track record, right? And so to know something is faithful, you have to experience it. You have to try it out. And there's one thing that I've tried out a lot, okay? You want to hear what it is? It's Bluebell ice cream. I've tried out a lot of Bluebell ice cream, okay? And time and time again, it proves itself faithful, okay? It does. I've never been disappointed in my Bluebell ice cream. In particular, I mean, this is not my favorite ice cream, a Bluebell, but homemade vanilla. Okay, just the classic, simple, homemade vanilla. This is not a plug. I didn't get any royalties from any of our Bluebell people in the house tonight. But that homemade vanilla, whether I get it in the half gallon, in the pint, or the little cups at the birthday party, it is homemade vanilla every single time, and it is delicious. Whether I'm getting a scoop out of the big half gallon or I'm sitting down in the recliner with the big half gallon, that Bluebell is homemade vanilla is homemade vanilla. And the reason I know it is because I've had it not once or twice or three times or I don't know how many times I've had it, but it takes time. It takes experience to know that something is good. You know, we also have bad experience, right? We go to restaurants and, you know, you may have one experience today. You go a few days later, you may have a completely different experience. Of course, we live in a fallen world where nothing's ever just going to be perfect. But the only way to know that something is faithful is to experience it, is to try it out. What God wants us to do is to learn to trust Him, to try Him out day by day and experience by experience. He's not asking you to just say, I said I'm faithful and believe me, although that is true. He's saying, trust me. See how I'm working. Look what I'm doing in your life. Look what I have done for you on the cross, okay? God is asking us and He's wanting us to test Him out, okay? To try Him out, to take Him at His word and to follow Him. So we learn to trust God day by day, experience by experience. And I think the way that we do that, the way that we must do that is to take stock of the faithfulness of God in our lives. We have to keep a record. If it's as simple as open up your phone, getting your notes out, notes app open, and just every time you see God's hand at work in your life, jotting that down, making a note of it, the small things, the big things. Usually we know what the big things are. Usually it's the small things that we end up overlooking, right? And those little small things, that's what I want to point out, is it's the small things. If we miss Him, which is so easy to do in the small things, a lot of times when we get to some of those big things in life, we think, God, where are you? God, why is this happening to me? Why are we going through this? Because we failed to see how God was protecting us when we were driving to work, right? The other day, I almost got in a pretty bad accident. Thankfully, and I got out of that happening. But when I got back in my lane and I was kind of focused, I was just like, God, thank you for protecting me. I could have just been like, yes, I'm a good driver. But no, I just wanted to give God, I wanted to mentally make that note to God. So whatever it may be, let's keep a record, because here's the reality is that the small things, they add up. Now, these aren't necessarily small, but here's some things I thought of. Keeping record of God's forgiveness of your sins. How has He forgiven you? What has He forgiven you of? Keeping a record of the prayers that He's answered. Keep a record of the ways that He has sustained you, the ways that He's walked with you, the ways that He's protected you, the ways that He's provided for you. One big one is financially. How is God helping you? How are you trusting God with your finances? How is God providing healing to you or to those prayer requests that you have? Keep a record of the wisdom and the peace and the joy that God gives you. And when it comes to those other bigger times in life, you may say, God, I don't understand what's going on, but what you will say is, but God, I trust you. God, because you are faithful. You're so faithful in these little things, there's no way you can't be faithful in this big thing. So we learn day by day to trust the Lord, but I also want to bring this point. is that we also learn from others in how God is faithful to them. And that builds our trust. When I look around the congregation tonight, or on a Sunday morning when everyone's leaving the 8:30 service and I'm standing at the information desk, or just wherever, I see the hospital list. We have a lot of people who are going through a lot of difficult things. And we have a lot of people in our church who have gone through a lot of difficult things. And what I like to do is to take note of how God has brought them through it. And when I take note of how God has brought them through it, and when I hear their testimony of what the Lord has done in their lives and how he has used them and what they're doing, it builds my faith. It helps me to trust the Lord. It prepares me for the day when I do experience something of a similar nature to that person. Because I see how God has been faithful to them, therefore I know that he will be faithful to me. They're his children, I'm his child. There's no reason for him not to be faithful to me. And so we must also learn from others in how God is faithful so that we also can build our trust. A few ways that I see God being faithful to us from Scripture is, I just want to share a few of these verses. Romans 8:28. We know that God works all things together for the good of those who are loved, who love him or are called according to his purpose. That's a faithful God who works it all together. God is faithful to sanctify us, according to 1 Thessalonians 5:24. It says that he who called you is faithful, and he will do it. He's also faithful to forgive you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to think, God, I really hope that you can forgive me of this. I hope this wasn't too bad for you, God. No, he's faithful to forgive. God is also faithful to us in our temptation. It says that we have not been tempted beyond, there's no temptation that is not as common to man. And God is faithful, and that in your temptation, he will provide a way out. He cares about you. He doesn't want you to be sucked into temptation, but he wants you to be freed from it and to be able to escape from it. And ultimately, God is faithful even when we are not. That's what 2 Timothy 2:13 says. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. But we get all of this, we build this truth in our hearts by experiencing his faithfulness each and every day, looking for it day by day. And then lastly, number three here, the faithfulness of God is ultimately shown in Jesus. It's the picture of God's faithfulness. I think about the cross. Of course, we've just been through the Easter season. When you think about the cross, if God would be that faithful, if God would be that faithful to his word, which was to redeem humanity, that he would go to the cross for us, will he not surely still continue to be faithful to you today? If he was willing to put his son on the cross to die for your sin and to receive the full wrath of God upon himself, would he not also be faithful to you today? You see, in Jesus, we go from creation to the cross and then to the final consummation. It is all about Jesus. As he worked in the midst of creation, as we had sin that made us fall short, as we come to the cross where he is put on the cross to be the punishment of our sins and to be reconciled to the Lord, and then ultimately the final consummation of the end of the age, that Jesus on his throne and everything is made right. It is through Christ that we see the faithfulness of our God. He is the rescuer that's promised in Genesis chapter 3. God is faithful through Jesus because he's the king that is promised to David in his line. God's faithfulness is shown in Jesus because he's the Messiah that is prophesied by the prophets. Jesus is the fulfillment of each and every one of God's promises. So simply put, the faithfulness of God is ultimately shown in Jesus. So, therefore, build your life on Jesus the faithful Savior. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27 says this. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house. Yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears the words of mine but doesn't act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Church, tonight, if we want to be resilient in this world, if we want to be able to trust in the Lord, we must build our life on Jesus Christ. He is our firm foundation. He is the means by which God shows his complete faithfulness to you and to me. One of my favorite songs right now, and I failed to mention this at the beginning, because anytime when this comes back to my anchor verse being Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, anytime that "Great is thy faithfulness" is on that worship guide that we're singing it on Sunday morning, I just automatically get pumped. Like, I just know it. Like, this is going to be a good service. If I'm driving in my car and there's a song that just anywhere near is talking about the faithfulness of God, you can bet that the volume is going up. There's just something about that that just stirs my heart. And one of those songs right now on the radio is called it's called Firm Foundation. I just want to read, I'm not going to sing, these lyrics, and then we'll close. It says, "Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, because he's never let me down. He is faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't." Next verse. "I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, because I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't." And it goes on and on and on to say that he won't. And he wants the singer, the author of that song, the writer, he wants you to know that he won't fail you, that he is there with you. And so we're going to have a time of invitation. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and Brad's going to come up and lead us in a song, a very special song. I appreciate him singing it tonight. But during this time of invitation, I want it to be a time of reflection. A time of reflection for you on how God has been faithful to you. I challenge you, I encourage you to go back, just go down memory lane, go back to your salvation, maybe even earlier in your life, thinking about the many and many ways that God has been faithful. What has he brought you through? Where has he taken you to? How have you experienced his love and his mercy? When did you turn away, yet he remained faithful to you? And let me ask you this question to ponder as well. What is happening right now that you need to cling to the faithfulness of God? Let's pray together. Lord, there is so much going on in our lives, Father. I don't dare to think that I know half the things that each and every person are going through in this room. But God, I know that they need you. I know, God, that you're the answer. I know, God, that you will see them through. I know, God, that you will give them peace. Because you're a faithful God, a loving God, the steadfast love that never ceases, the mercies that never fail. So, Father, tonight, I pray as we have this time of reflection, whether it's in our pews or if someone feels led to come down to the altar and just wants to reflect here and be intentional with that time, God, that you would draw us near to you. And that as we leave tonight, we wouldn't be satisfied in making it just day by day. But Lord, we would be satisfied in looking to you day by day and trusting in you. So Lord, help us during this time to just reflect and to be thankful. And if there is a decision that needs to be made, Lord, tonight for you and your and to be for salvation or baptism or to join this church, Lord, I pray that that would be done as well. I ask this in Jesus' name.